Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Claimed by Maggie Sunseri, narrated by Rachel Blang. Chapter 1. Cyrus. Athena's spear sunk into Anya's flesh. Anya's scream echoed across the beach for an eternity, and the sound was like a punch to my gut. In a burst of magic and gust of wind, Anya and Daylan disappeared into thin air. It took me several long seconds to stand and face my warrior brothers and sisters. As I did, Athena let out a cry of her own, throwing her second spear to the ground in frustration. Her nostrils flared. Fire magic gathered in her palms. All eyes were trained on me. I swallowed against the panic bubbling up in my throat. "There is more to the story," I began.
"What have you done, brother?"
Tobias asked, his face contorted with anger and confusion. His dark skin shone with sweat, his imposing bulky figure still flexed and exuding adrenaline.
"Let me explain,"
I tried again, taking deep, steadying breaths. I hadn't fully recovered from either the visceral fear of staring down a tsunami or from the pure awe and reverence of the divine witch who conjured and then banished the oceanic force. How could my coven refuse to believe in Anya after witnessing power of that magnitude? She was no mere witch. She was capable of magic reserved only for the gods.
"You will come with us and explain yourself to the shamans,"
Athena ground out. I held up my hands and nodded. "Fine, let's go." Everyone on the beach slowly gathered in a circle, leaving room in the center for the shamans and representatives from the three covens. Anya's soul father, Orion, stood with two fellow Sophrosyne witches, Lorraine and Rory. Isaira's high priest, Jesko, and eldest healer, Ren, as well as several elders from both Aurora, Aurea, and Isaira completed this inner circle. Some witches in the crowd wept, others shook with fear, but most shot deadly glares my way. Even though it had been mere minutes since Anya left with Daylan, whispers had already spread. I didn't know how much everyone knew, but it was safe to say they all saw me as a traitor. I held my head high and my face neutral as the crowd parted for me and the other warriors who surrounded me on all sides. This was always going to be the hard part. I promised Anya I would stay behind and convince these covens that she wasn't sacrificing the world for her true soulmate. She was only pretending to. In reality, she would be stalling and distracting our enemy, convincing him he'd already won the war. She would find a way to destroy his rule from within. And when the time came, she would reunite with us, help our army take back every land in the realm, and free all witches from subjugation. This is what I explained to the elders when the warriors delivered me to the center of the circle. Our voices were magically amplified here so that the crowd could hear what was going on. As I was finishing my explanation, I locked eyes with my new Isaira friends at the front of the crowd. Ali, Meredith, Sky, and Prairie. Seeing them caused me to falter. Then, I saw the crowd part for several of my family members. My parents, my elder sister Violet, her soulmate Desta, and my father's parents. My nieces and nephews must have been taken home by my mother's parents. Violet's gaze was sharp.
"You promised us. You said you would never again hide the truth from those you love most."
I tore my eyes away from her and back to the shamans. "Look, I know you all have already drawn your own conclusions, no matter what I say about Anya's grander plan, divine intuition, and sound mind. But you've let a single witch," I flicked my gaze to Ren, "convince this entire island that the Salvator Mundi, she who holds the overlapping worlds in her palms, is just like the rest of us. But she's not. She rose from the dead. She was granted access to the Akashic Records. She can conjure and banish powerful natural forces at will. She was chosen for a reason. And Aurora Aurea knows that better than most. In a far less grand way, I was chosen too. My vision of saving her from the castle has not yet come to pass. When I left here months ago, the great goddess made it clear that I was too early. Anya was always meant to return. I didn't know what else to say. At a certain point, my people just needed to remember their faith. Whatever Ren was peddling was the very opposite of faith. Anya had trusted just him and me with the truth about her purpose, and he'd betrayed her. It was because of him the warriors attacked Anya and nearly got Daylan killed.
I assume you know that she is soul-bonded to the false king?
Alamanda asked. The crowd gasped and then went utterly silent. I could sense she was peering into my energy, picking me apart in search of my soul's truth. Yes, I affirmed. Whispers flew through the air. We don't know why or how, but it appears to be another piece of the goddess's bigger plan, likely magic born from their linked origins. She was born to restore the balance that he disrupted, and as such, they're energetic mirrors of each other. But Anya's heart is with Daylan, and she is determined to take the false king down by any means necessary. Ren shook his head.
Intentional or not, Anya is fundamentally dishonest. This narrative that she's spun is foolish, short-sighted, and...
Orion stepped forward, his face stricken.
No,
he said, cutting Ren off. Anger peeked through his clouds of grief as all eyes landed on him.
I watched witches attack and injure her, and I will no longer tolerate this verbal assault on my soul daughter's character. The Sophrosyne Coven knows who Anya truly is. It was by her light that we were redeemed.
We might not have all of the answers yet, but I know for certain that truth often holds a middle ground.
And so far we have only heard from one side of the divide. I sighed a breath of relief, watching as Lorraine and Rory placed a hand on either of Orion's shoulders in a show of support for their leader.
We didn't want to use violence against Anya,
Shaman Kendari said.
We cannot apologize to her, but we can apologize to you.
He bowed his head, his light brown eyes sincere and regretful. Orion said nothing, but he stepped back just as Shaman Alamanda took a step forward. She shook her head, her wise, ancient power rippling across her skin and emitting a faint reddish hue.
Nothing can be done to prevent this so-called coronation. The choice has been made. Sending anyone to the castle now would be a waste of precious life. Either we continue on our current course, weaponizing blame, nurturing distrust and inflaming division, or we forge a new path and adapt. We can believe we are lost, or we can hold strong to faith. This matter is far from settled, but I think we can all agree that we need rest now, more than ever. We have experienced a great trauma tonight, and our young ones need comforting. We can continue public deliberations tomorrow.
I wished I had Anya's gift of clairsentience. I had no idea what this crowd thought of me now. The coven was my family, and the last time I disappointed them, it was nearly too much to bear. These witches were everything to me. But what mattered more than saving the world? Jesko stepped forward.
Rest sounds like a good idea. And I just want to reiterate that Anya and Daylan are Icieran for as long as they wish to be, and we consider them both to be family. Whether or not Anya has been corrupted and misled by the false king, I hope every witch on this island knows that our push to keep them here by any means necessary was not taken lightly.
We did what we did out of love, and nothing less.
I saw Anya's icier and friends nod, Meredith burying her head in Ollie's chest as her body racked with sobs. Ren stayed silent, which was probably for the best considering both Orion and I had heard enough from him for the night. I still couldn't believe he'd betrayed her like that. How could he not see what I saw? Whenever she shone her light down upon me, all I felt was warmth and certainty, and all I saw was perfect golden hues of divinity. She was our salvation. She always had been, since she first appeared in our cave paintings hundreds of years ago. Two witches suddenly cut through the crowd and into the inner circle, out of breath. I recognized them as Aurora Oriens, who often stood watch at the portal.
"Another coven has arrived,"
the shorter blonde woman, Felicity, said.
"They say they know how to take back occupied Thora."
The King's City, the land just beyond the castle. My lips formed the smallest of grins before I could stop them. If this wasn't proof that we were still on the path, I didn't know what was. The next night, we felt it. The whole realm felt it. Anya's words woke me from a dead sleep.
"Don't give up on me,"
she said, and light flooded through my every pore. Her light. It was just as beautiful and as goddess-like as I remembered it, from when she first sent it across Aradia and called all witches to continue their fight for freedom and restoration. Then, the shimmering glow went abruptly dark, and the air turned cold. Though it was brief, I felt the most horrible empty feeling in my chest as the psychic message moved through me. It had happened. He'd made her his queen. I lay in silence, imagining the very worst. Then I shook my head, snapping myself out of it. I had to believe that Anya and Daylin were both safe, that everything was going according to plan, no matter how treacherous a scheme it was. My heart leapt out of my ribcage when someone knocked on my bedroom door. I sat up as Violet entered, baby Rosie balanced on her hip.
"Did you hear that?"
Violet asked, her eyes wide. She looked far too pale.
"Was it supposed to feel like that? That wasn't like the last time she spoke to the realm. There was something dark."
She shivered, remembering. "I don't know," I admitted. I was grateful Violet was speaking full sentences to me again. "This is how all stories go, Vi. It's the dark night of the soul, right? We have to first be lost if we ever want to find ourselves. We have to know darkness before we can feel the light. The False King must believe he's won, and we have to remember that he hasn't. It's all a part of the plan." Violet was silent for several long seconds as Rosie cooed and reached her little palm to her mother's cheek.
"You speak differently now. Ever since you first had that vision, day by day, you've grown. I'm still angry that you chose to keep me out of the loop. Again. But I like this change, Sai. It's about time you started giving yourself more credit."
She paused.
"I hope you're right about all of it. But I'm terrified, and now I can only imagine what the rest of the realm will think when they felt such despair echo from the world's savior, or when they discover she was crowned Queen of the Shadows."
Violet was right. I was different now. Ever since I first saw that vision of Anya in the castle, adorned in diamonds and pearls and wearing a luxurious golden gown, her electric green eyes fixed on me, I knew. I knew that I would believe in her forever, that I would do anything she ever asked of me. And now my purpose was to make sure everyone else believed in her too. Anya was always meant to go back to Lucius, and I was meant to save her from him. As I watched my niece cling to my sister, her bouncy black curls already over 2 inches long, the cold and the dark transformed back to golden fire that burned bright. I looked down at my palms, and I sighed a breath of relief when I saw Anya's magical boost give off a slight glow. Her power lives on, just as we knew it would. She's still in there. She's going to fight her way back to herself, and we're going to fight to take back Thora. Let the great goddess light our way, and the fire god grant us unending strength.
Chapter 2. Anya.
Long live Anya, Queen of Aradia.
The words were made of liquid gold, enveloping me in the opalescent moonlight that was now married to the quiet stillness of the night. My eyes flitted from Nathaniel to Angelina to Daylin, and I siphoned their rich emotional energy like it was a drug. Awe, fear, disbelief, rage. It didn't matter what they felt, because I was above the earth, above the clouds, above the entire mortal plane, where no one could hurt me ever again. The word remember snagged somewhere beneath the surface of my conscious mind, but I ignored it. I did not wish to remember a single moment before this one. Yet something in my body remembered, some deep, buried pain that still echoed through my shredded heart, thrumming against my eyes like an ice pick. All of my senses were heightened now, and I could smell blood. I tasted it. Its metallic bitterness that screamed death and darkness. Lucius turned to me, and his grin faded as he watched my face.
We will carry on with coronation festivities tomorrow. I will take care of you now, as promised.
His gaze traveled back toward Daylin, incapable of hiding the triumph that flashed in his eyes. Daylin's features were pure stone.
Lucius, Angelina snarled. This ritual did not go according to plan.
She stepped forward, visibly weakened as the magic of the circle dissipated in blackened smoke. Her face was withered and wrinkled, fury and disgust in her stone-cold features.
Whose plan?
Lucius asked, and the confident ease in his voice made me lean closer to him. He was steady. He was safe. Angelina was not. She stepped closer to us, but as soon as the beginnings of a chant left her lips, Lucius had her back on her knees.
Remember yourself, Maker, he said.
He nodded at Nathaniel.
Have Daylin and Angelina delivered back to their quarters? The Queen and I are not to be disturbed.
Nathaniel shook himself out of a stunned stupor before bowing his head in deference. Still floating from Lucius's energy rushing through my veins, I could barely hear the steady din of whispers that circled us like vultures, or see the visions of the void eclipsing my mind's eye. The emptiness had been temporarily quenched, but knowing it was still there, that it would always be there, made my stomach queasy. I gripped Lucius's hand tighter as my heart sped up. I couldn't focus on the rest of the guards entering the circle, the way two of them dragged Daylin away, or how Angelina was glaring at me like she wanted to sink her teeth into my throat. All I could focus on was the growing feeling that something was wrong, that beneath this temporary pleasure lay a deep well of pain, and that the world was an unsafe place.
Anya, darling,
Lucius whispered, gently taking my other hand in his and forcing me to face him.
There will be growing pains, but you're not alone. Not like I was. Angelina died and left me to figure out how to be King of Aradia at 16 years of age. I had no one to guide me. I had to learn to live intertwined with the shadows, these beasts that respect no master, that know only take, only more, more, more.
I heard his thoughts, as if they were a part of my own inner monologue. And then I felt a twinge of loneliness, the kind of silence and stillness I'd only ever felt floating in deep space. "You were lonely?" I asked, and Lucius jolted, his own grip tightening slightly. Everyone else had left. We were all alone. "Even after your coronation?" He started to shake his head, but confirmation flooded through the bond in wisps of cool wintry blue, coldness that seemed to dig beneath my own skin in search of warmth. I took a deep breath, and I let my warmth find him, let it melt away at the cold. "I thought you lost your ability to feel. When we first met, I thought you didn't feel anything at all, that you weren't capable."
"You saw what you wanted to see," Lucius said quietly, discomfort in his features. "I let you draw your own conclusions, just like I have let everyone else."
This moment between us began to shrivel before it could bloom, the whispers back and louder than before, and the smell of death fierce and sickening. I tilted my head to peek beyond Lucius, where Taryn's body lay unnaturally still. "I killed her," I said, and it felt like I'd screamed the words. The void reached for me, and the shadows sung of violence and chaos. "I should bury her, like he had to bury his mother."
"No,"
Lucius said, and the word eroded my growing panic, bringing my awareness back to the places on my body he touched.
"You're trembling. You were strong for me, just as I asked. You've done enough for the night. She will be put to rest with dignity."
I didn't question him. All I felt was his praise and approval. In a haze of black smoke, we left the haunted clearing behind and teleported to his bedroom. It was just as Lucius had once told me of Amos's prophecy, that Daylan would watch me be crowned on my knees before Lucius, and then we would end the night in his chambers. Back then, I hadn't believed it. Over and over again, Lucius told me he never lied to me, and he'd never once proven otherwise. What had just happened? I was still me. Wasn't I? I was me, but different. I tried to follow my tangled web of thoughts, to trace them to some kind of conclusion, but that would require too much remembering and thinking. Lucius dropped my hands, and I felt naked without his touch, like a part of myself had been taken. He watched me so carefully, lifting a hand to my cheek. I used to flinch away from him or swat his hand away. I didn't this time. His lips tilted up.
"You feel it now. Actually, I think you felt it for a while."
The bond went two ways. When he removed his fingers from my cheekbone, I felt colder. "I feel many things I don't yet understand." He nodded.
"As do I."
He exhaled a long breath. Emotions flickered through his features in the bond. Relief and hesitancy, devotion and excitement. He even echoed my own emotions back to me. The fear and the grief. The confusion and the hunger.
"It will take time for the dust to settle. For our new reality to fully take its shape. But you're here. Safe and where you belong, and the shadows have accepted you as an extension of myself. The rest will fall into place."
Angelina said my power still lived. It seemed like she assumed the coronation would have rendered it useless, but Lucius knew it wouldn't. I flexed a hand, but I felt nothing but blood course through my veins. Did the universe revoke my power after all? Was I being punished? I couldn't live like that, useless and weak. Never again. I saw what happened to the powerless down in the Akashic Pit, where the most ruthless conquered all. Panic clogged my throat, and I searched Lucius's cool blue eyes.
Growing pains,
Lucius repeated.
You need rest.
I don't want to sleep. Not yet, I heard myself say. My thoughts poured from my mouth easier now, with less of a filter or consideration for their consequences. I shivered. Only emptiness where my magic used to flood me with warmth. Lucius assessed me before walking silently to the wardrobe. When he returned, he had a luxurious fur coat and white silk nightgown. He placed them on the bed.
I'll get your ladies' maids to...
I shook my head. I don't want servants to help. I took a breath. You can unclasp at the back and I can take it from there. He moved behind me, and I shivered again when his cool fingers traced down my back.
Your crown looks like it was made for you.
He lifted it from my head and placed it next to his on a velvet cushion inside a display case. Without his crown, he looked more like the Lucius I knew through the bond. The Lucius underneath. The Lucius who felt. It does, I admitted, and he grinned boyishly. Playful arrogance danced across his features. My stomach fluttered at the sight, but a part of me was still in the pit, and another was stuck in the time before the coronation, when my friends betrayed me, when Daylan rejected me, when I murdered Taryn. Another was with the shadows, and another still belonged to nothing and no one. Just wandered aimlessly through the wasteland of my mind. I'd been shattered, and I hadn't yet decided which pieces I was allowing to stay. Or maybe I didn't know yet which pieces the shadows would allow to stay.
Your truest, most free self will find you,
Lucius said, reading my thoughts flawlessly.
You must trust me, my soul and my light.
The faintest of glows emanated from my palms at his words, and we both let out a breath of relief.
I'm going to commandeer us some food and drink, Lucius said, and start a fire.
Fire. That was the element that flooded through my veins when he slipped out of the bedroom and left me to dress myself. A warm, golden glow that kept the shadows at a distance and the emptiness from sucking up all the light. I didn't know who I was right now, but I did know who I did not want to be, and that was someone who could be crushed, betrayed, rejected, or subjugated. I was not a victim of grief and pain and regret. I refused to be. I leaned into the element of fire, followed its pull to slip out of my dress and into the silk gown and fur. Its warmth made up for the slippery escape of my magic. I hunted down some warm socks and I padded out into the living area, where the source of the scorching heat was located. It wasn't the spitting flames in the fireplace. It was the king sitting across from them. He'd pulled me out of the pit of endless suffering. Every part of my body and soul was drawn to him. He was the safety in an apathetic, chaotic universe. He had been right, all along. The mortal realms had known nothing but cyclical violence and unspeakable horrors for thousands of years. And I wanted nothing to do with any of it.
You look less pale already, Lucius said. Nothing will ever be strong enough to dim your radiance, not even your lingering heretic-derived guilt.
He made a come-hither motion with his fingers, and I walked to the plush, gold-trimmed white couch slowly. Trays of food were spread out across the dark coffee table, but my eyes were most easily drawn to the flute of shimmering golden elixir.
No more rules, Anya, Lucius said. You're free now.
I sat with him, just a foot of distance between us.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?